Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis.
And I'm Peter Sagal. America needed a hero to lead us, and this week we found one. Someone who inspired us, captured our attention, and got results just by talking nonstop for 13 hours. If that's what it takes, our next president will be a 13-year-old girl with a cell phone. We'll ask who never stopped for a breath, plus Secretary of Education Arne Duncan shows us how much he's learned. And Bill Curtis tells us what he thinks of Carl Castle.
He's always been real cool with me, so I'm cool with him, you know?
We'll ask who started a beautiful friendship on our quiz right after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. Afghan President Hamid Karzai made a startling allegation today. He's claiming the United States is working with the Taliban to scare Afghans so that they will want to keep foreign forces in Afghanistan. U.S. General Joseph Dunford, the top commander of U.S.-led coalition forces in Afghanistan, rejected the statement.
President Karzai has never said to me that the United States was colluding with the Taliban. So I don't know what caused him to say that today. All I can do is speak for the coalition and tell you that it's categorically false.
Also today, Karzai was supposed to hold a news conference with Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel. That was scrapped because of a security threat. The men will still meet privately. President Obama could announce as early as tomorrow his latest cabinet pick. The Associated Press and other news outlets cite sources within the administration who say he will nominate Justice Department official Thomas Perez to replace Hilda Solis as Labor Secretary. NPR's Elizabeth Wynn Johnson has more.
Thomas Perez is the Assistant Attorney General for the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division, where he oversaw federal voting rights cases against South Carolina and Texas. Perez previously served as Labor Secretary for the state of Maryland after being the first Latino elected to the Montgomery County Council. Perez is first-generation Dominican American. This second-term cabinet vacancy is being closely watched by Latino groups. The Labor Secretary will play a key role in carrying out the president's immigration agenda. The department will also be at the center of any further effort to raise federal minimum wage. The president's choice will have to be confirmed by the Senate. Elizabeth Wynn Johnson, NPR News.
As Venezuela mourns the death of President Hugo Chavez, the country is calling snap elections to decide who will rule until the end of the decade. NPR's Juan Ferrero in Caracas says electoral authorities are calling for an April 14th election.
The ruling party's candidate will be President Nicolas Maduro. He's a Chavez loyalist who was sworn in as president on Friday, just days after his boss died following a long fight with cancer. The opposition wants Enrique Capriles, a young lawyer and governor, to challenge Maduro. Capriles is expected to make his decision today. Political analysts say Maduro has the advantage. He has the sympathy vote in a country still reeling from Chavez's death, and he also has Chavez's oil-fueled war chest, which helped bankroll campaigns for years. Whoever wins will rule for 6 years, and so if Maduro is elected, the president's radical movement will continue. Juan Ferrero, NPR News, Caracas.
Nigerian Islamist militants have reportedly killed several foreign hostages they were holding. Italian and Greek officials confirm their country's citizens were among those slain, along with citizens from Britain and Lebanon. You're listening to NPR News. More than 30 years after British forces defeated Argentina over control of the Falkland Islands, the issue of sovereignty remains a highly charged issue for both countries. Larry Miller reports nearly 1,700 Falkland Islanders began voting today on whether to remain a British overseas territory.
Under the gaze of international observers, the Falkland Islanders are expected to vote overwhelmingly in favor of staying British, yet Argentina considers the referendum irrelevant and vows to continue claiming sovereignty of the South Atlantic Islands. An opinion poll shows a quarter of Argentines consider it the country's most important issue. Across the Falklands, the locals fly the Union Jack. Neville Hayward told Sky News why.
We want to show the rest of the world that we want to remain British. Because we are British. It's our way of life. It's the only thing we know.
A vote backing British sovereignty will strengthen the UK's resolve not to negotiate. A poll suggests three-quarters of British support military action to defend the Falklands. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
There's a new leader today in Alaska's Iditarod sled dog race. Ali Zirkel is in the lead. She overtook yesterday's leader, Martin Boozer, who is now in third place. In second, Aaron Burmeister. Last year, Ali Zirkel was the Iditarod's second-place finisher. Daylight saving time started today at 2 a.m. your time. In most parts of the country, you should have set your clocks forward by 1 hour. Safety officials also suggest that as you change your clocks, you should change the batteries in your smoke and in your carbon monoxide detectors. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News, from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org.
NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm legendary anchorman Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Kasell, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for filling in for Carl again. Got a great show for you today. Arnie Duncan, the nation's Secretary of Education, will be here to answer our questions, including, well, why is it important to get an education in the first place? I mean, Bill, where did you go to school?
I dropped out of school when I discovered the effect my voice had on wealthy, lonely women. And I've done very well.
But before we get to all of that, it'll be your turn. Give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're my Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Amy Ziffer from Sherman, Connecticut.
Well, welcome, Amy. Sherman, Connecticut is where exactly in that beautiful state?
It's about 2 hours north-northeast of New York City.
Right. All of Connecticut is about two and a half hours. But that's all right. What do you do there?
I'm actually a gardener by profession.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fun. So,
it can be.
So in order to relax, do you putter around in an office?
I don't know how to...
Well, welcome to the show, Amy. Let me introduce you to our panel. First, it is a comedian who will be performing at the Guard Arts Center, not far from you, in New London, Connecticut, on April 5th. It's Paula Poundstone. Next, we welcome back to our show the author of Funny in Farsi. It's Firouzeh Dumas. And finally, it's a humorist and author, most recently of Alpha Better Juice, The Joy of Text. It's Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr. So, Amy, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Bill this time? Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl, is going to recreate for you three quotations from this week's news. Your job, of course, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that. You'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your home voicemail. Ready to go?
Yes, I'm ready.
Let's hear your first quote.
I would go for the record, But I've discovered that there are some limits to filibustering, and I'm going to go have to take care of one right now.
That was someone explaining why he had to stop talking on the Senate floor after almost 13 hours. Who was it?
That would be Rand Paul.
It would be Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky. Very well done.
You know, if I were going to filibuster, I would strap on my Depends right in front of the Republicans.
Just to let them know.
Let them know I mean business.
Well, actually, it was amazing. It was like Mr. Paul goes to Washington, an amazing act of political theater in which the senator argued from morning till past midnight that the president does not have the right to use drones on American citizens on American soil. It is a gutsy thing to do, to challenge the president's use of killer drones while standing in exactly the same spot for 13 hours.
See, I have to say, as an immigrant, this whole filibuster thing confuses me. Because so basically, it's like, I used to say to my kids when they were little, I'm going to count to three.
Right.
So this is kind of like the adult version of, I'm just going to count to 1,000,000 and 10 until I get what I want.
Right.
So I don't. Who came up with this? Was it a mother?
They started out... They started out holding their breath, but then that didn't last. What is Farsi for filibuster? There must be.
Fatwa.
Yeah. Now,
all right, we do it better.
But anyway, not everybody was thrilled. Most Democrats wouldn't support him against their own president, and John McCain complained about the 13-hour filibuster because, look, he only has so many hours left. I mean.
Ouch.
I thought we all liked John McCain as well. All right, moving on. Amy, your next quote is an appreciation of Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea.
You can't believe what you hear in the media. He's always been real cool with me, so I'm cool with him, you know?
So who's now besties with Kim Jong-un?
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman, yes. So let's say you're an unstable lunatic, shunned by the world, and you've got a lust for attention. What do? Well, you go visit the dictator of North Korea. Dennis Rodman, who was kind of an idiot even when he played for the Bulls championship teams in the 1990s, decided that he should make a living now as a useful idiot. He's different than most people who hang with the Korean dictator in that he wasn't actually hanged.
Having just supported an idea of Rand Paul, I hate to also defend Dennis Rodman, but you know what? Maybe he's got the right idea. You know how Obama had like the Republican senators to dinner, and they say, well, the good thing about that is it's harder to demonize when you really know the people on a personal level. Maybe if we do this sort of one thing at a time, you know, one individual going over to North Korea and hanging with Kim Jong-un.
Let me analyze your idea here. So the idea is that Kim Jong-un, he's isolated, he's part of the hermit kingdom, he doesn't know anything about the Western world. And the idea is that if he only got to know an American, he'd understand that we're normal, we're non-threatening. And the American he meets is Dennis Rodman.
Okay, but Dennis Rodman simply is the guy who chose to go. See, if we're upset by him representing us, then somebody a little bit more normal, myself, should step up to the plate.
You're volunteering to go to North Korea as a cultural ambassador?
I would, yes.
We could do the show there. Pyongyang must have a broadcast.
Sure, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Wait, don't hang me. Do you want to write some of this down?
I should. Amy, all right, here we go. We have one last quote for you.
Okay.
I'm just wondering why a yogurt is more dangerous than a penknife or a golf club.
That was a woman referring to the fact that while you still can't take a yogurt with you, you can now take a little knife where?
On airplanes.
Yes, indeed. Good news, travelers. Now you can finally be packing when it comes to the battle for the armrest. The TSA is allowing pocket knives now on planes as long as they are less than an inch wide or 2.5 inches long. There is a rumor. The TSA denies this. There's a rumor that since it doesn't really make any sense that they're letting people with knives on, I guess, the TSA changed the rule not because they decided it was safe, but because they realized they were just really bad at catching people with pen knives. So just change the rule. It's like we weren't failing at our jobs. We were pre-doing it right.
Whereas apparently the yogurt they get like
that. Yeah, yeah, because they...
Yeah, yogurt bust. That's got to feel good as a man to go home. It prevented the proliferation of yogurt. Yeah, I remember one time seeing a TSA guy in the Chicago airport at the McDonald's, a big, huge guy, and he was putting lip balm on his lips, and I thought, my gosh, he must have a ton of that. You know, if you go out with a guy from the TSA, I'll bet those are some simple lips.
Bill, how did Amy do in our quiz?
It's clear that while Amy was planting her begonia, she was listening to the radio because she's perfect.
There you are. Very well done, Amy. Congratulations, Amy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We want to remind everybody about the upcoming Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me cinema event happening on May 2nd. You can witness the magic of Wait, Wait live in a movie theater near you. Finally, an opportunity to enjoy this same radio show among a crowd of strangers while paying $8 for a box of Milk Duds. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Paula, in some alarming news, Al-Qaeda is now drawing inspiration for their attacks from what?
Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake?
Yeah.
This week, we bring sexy back against the infidel.
Yeah.
I'd like that, but no.
Yeah. Israeli work.
Think Herbie the Hate Bug.
They've gotten inspiration from Dean Jones films?
Not specifically Dean Jones movies, but though I do
Disney
admire...
Disney movies?
Yeah, well, close enough, from kids' movies. Now, this is how we know this. As we've mentioned, Al-Qaeda has this magazine called Inspire. It's for its members,
yes,
with all kinds of tips, tricks, and
yeah,
beauty hints for the young jihadist.
Mm-hmm.
And in a recent article, the magazine discusses that classic oil slick trick, you know, its car, saying, quote, "For best results, choose a bend in a mountainous road. The sliding will surprise the infidel much more, maybe even causing a down-the-mountain, chitty-chitty, bang-bang, flying special."
Okay, but that's not from a Disney film.
I didn't say it was.
Oh,
I said it was a kid's movie.
Kids movie.
We all know that Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was produced by Aeon Productions, the same guys who did the James Bond
That's
movies.
That's exactly correct.
Which is why Goldfinger plays Baron von Bomberst. You don't need to tell me that.
Wow.
Thank you. But back to terrorism.
Wow.
Here's the thing. So, Al-Qaeda is watching kids' movies, and they're getting inspiration for their attacks from kids' movies. Other articles indicate they might start making their own films, their own kids' films. For example,
The Shaggy Mullah. Wreck-It Omar. Mary Poppins, the Infidel Whore.
Or a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down, medicine go down.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and RDO, a digital music service allowing listeners to discover millions of songs and listen everywhere. RDIO.com. Ally Bank, who believes intelligent news and knowledgeable customer service should be available around the clock. Learn more at allybank.com. And Pimsleur Language Program, celebrating 50 years and offering audio courses in 50 languages for download. Available at Pimsleur.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Paula Poundstone, Roy Blunt Jr., and Firouzeh Dumas. And here again is the host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. Right now it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888 Wait, Wait to play our game on air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is Raj.
Hey, Raj, where are you calling from?
Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Oh, what do you do there in Baton Rouge?
I'm doing my master's at LSU.
Oh, LSU, of course, Louisiana State. What are you getting your master's in?
Engineering science.
Oh, cool. So are you going to be one of those engineers who builds stuff?
Hopefully, if I get a job.
Yeah, well, what sort of stuff do you like to build?
Software.
Oh, you're a software engineer. I was hoping for, like, you know, one of those bridge engineers. Well, welcome to the show, Raj. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Raj's topic?
Damn this traffic jam. It hurts my motor to go this slow.
This week, Yahoo banned their employees from working at home. That means that they'll be joining the rest of us enduring hours of traffic or awful bus rides in order to get to work. But never fear. Our panelists are going to tell you about three stories of people who've come up with ingenious ways to improve their morning commute. Only one of these stories is true, but you can use the others anyway if it helps.
Okay.
First up, let's hear from Roy Blunt, Jr.
Is there anything at all wacky about driving bumper to bumper on the same old highway between the same old home and the same old office and back again 5 days a week, 50 weeks a year in the same old sensible car? No. There isn't anything the least bit wacky about that, unless you've got hilarity riding with you on your smartphone in the form of Lulu Auga, the saucy daredevil voice of an interactive app announced this week called Let's Mess Around in Traffic. Ask Lulu anything and she will respond Auga and then toss out a wacky suggestion. What you say we drive up onto the back of one of them tractor trailers hauling new cars and see if it will even notice? Or let me hear you make a noise like a run-over roadrunner clinging to your oil pan. Here's a start. Meep, yowch. Meep, yowch. Here's the difference between Lulu and Siri. Say hot enough for you to Siri, and she'll give you the temperature. Say it to Lula, and she'll say, I'm going to put my feet up on the dash and get some of this fine AC up my skirt.
An app called Let's Mess Around in Traffic, making your commute that much more fun. Your next story of someone trying to make commuting even more enjoyable comes from Paula Poundstone.
Japanese businessmen have found a passion for Wawa women. Wawa women provide comfort and stress relief by breathing and vocalizing sounds directly into their clients' ears. It sounds something like, wah, wah, wah. Not surprisingly, the businessmen have taken to using the Wawa women during their notoriously grueling commute, which is causing additional crowding on Tokyo's Toei subway, fabled for its bulging cars actually packed in by handlers at the door. It is a very personal, completely legal service. The Wawa women do not touch the client, nor use lewd or suggestive language. It's also difficult to keep the service private during the commute, which angers users such as Shinjuku line rider Ahihoko Shima. I'm paying a chunk of yen for this service, and a lot of men are getting a contact from my Wawa woman. When she goes, wah, wah, boo, and blows right into my ears, they try to move closer. Not everyone is happy about the new commuter comfort trend.
So the Wawa women of Tokyo, relieving stress on the subways. Your last story of an attempt to make going to work more pleasant comes from Firouzeh Dumas.
It's a boy. It's a girl. No, it's a whole mass of silicone. Ask any New Yorker. It's hard to stand on your feet during those long subway commutes. Oh, if only someone would give up his seat. Well, necessity is the mother of invention. And who are most people going to give up their seat for in a crowded subway? In New York, no one. But in China, expectant mothers are still afforded respect. Until now, perhaps. You see, women have resorted to buying fake pregnancy bellies just to nab a seat on the subway. What could go wrong, you ask? Last month, South China Morning Post reported that a woman who had been trying to have passengers give up their Beijing subway seats was discovered after the belt came loose and the fake stomach fell to the ground. Oops. Next time, use Velcro. No to China. If you see Michelle Duggar, it's probably real.
All right. So, somewhere, somebody is doing one of these things to make the commute better. Was it from Roy Blunt Jr., people using a new app that suggests crazy ideas to mess around in traffic? From Paula Poundstone, the Wawa woman of Tokyo, who eased the stress of taking the subway in that congested city by going wah, wah in the men's ears? Or from Firouzi Dumas, the story of how women are using fake pregnancy bellies to get seats in the crowded subways of Beijing? Which of these is the real story of a commuting easing device?
They all sound like they're true.
Oh. So which one are you choosing?
C.
You're going to choose C, the last story. That would be Firouzi's story about the fake pregnancies just to try to get a seat?
Yes.
All right. Well, we actually spoke to someone involved in the true story.
A woman in China attempted to get on a subway using a product that we may have actually sold. We'll have to look at our customer records, though. We do a lot of business in China.
That was Art Neal. He is the owner of FakeABaby.com for all your fake pregnancy needs. Talking about the fact that he suspects that at least one woman who was caught doing this in China was using one of his products. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You were correct. Firouzi gets a point simply for being truthful, and you have won our prize, Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. Well done, Raj.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Damn this traffic jam. How I hate to be late. Hurts my motor to go so slow. Time I get home, my supper be cold. Damn this traffic jam.
And now the game where smart people end up wondering why they spend all that time learning useful stuff. The game is called Not My Job. Arnie Duncan is President Obama's Secretary of Education, and if, while he's on this show, a disaster befalls, the President, the Vice President, the Speaker of the House, and every other member of the Cabinet, except Veterans Affairs and Homeland Security, he would be President. Arnie Duncan, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. We are officially the 16th family.
You are.
Who's after you?
Not too many people. If I ever stand up and say everything's okay, everything's not okay.
I understand. So, you're from Chicago, native born, right? And born your mother was a teacher here in Chicago?
My dad taught at the University of Chicago, and my mother ran an inner-city tutoring program starting in 1961. And she raised my sister and brothers a part of her program. And we've all gone into education. We've all tried to follow in her footsteps. It was an amazing formative experience.
Wow, that's kind of amazing.
It was.
Your mother was your after-school teacher?
Yes.
So you had detention with your mother your entire childhood?
She ran a tight ship.
Really? Now, you also grew up as a basketball player.
I tried.
But you weren't good enough to get into a good school, so you went to Harvard.
True. That is absolutely the truth.
Really? Did you actually try to get into, like, some decent basketball school?
I would, you know, if DePaul would have called or Notre Dame, I would have been there in a heartbeat.
Really? Now, here's the question. President Obama selected you to be Secretary of Education for his first term, and now you're continuing in the second. Is it only because you can give him a game on the basketball court?
I hope not, but we do have some good fun together. That's our stress relief, and it's a chance where he can just be normal and we can relax and play and some real good camaraderie.
Right. Now, how long have you been playing with basketball with President Obama?
It actually goes back to when he was teaching as a professor at U of C. And
right.
We used to play at the old Henry Cowan Fieldhouse there.
Really?
Really.
And keeping in mind that hardly anyone listens to this show, is he any good?
He can play.
He can play.
When we play, he's not out there to make a few baskets or break a sweat. He's out there to win.
Right.
Mm. You'd think he would have gone further in life with that sort of...
Do you think that were there not a stipulation that you can't use drones on American citizens? that urge to win would have interrupted, so to speak, on the basketball court. That would be awful, wouldn't it? Just to, you know, you're about to go up for that layup, and darn. A drone. That's not cool.
I plead the fifth on that one. I was there on that one.
Is it true that your mother played basketball with President Obama?
It is true. Ooh. And my mother played into her, I'm not even sure, late 50s, early 60s, and she's a tough cookie in lots of different ways.
So your mother is going up against the President of the United States.
Well, this is long before he was the president.
Yeah.
But they had battles. She's a tough cookie, and you know, if you know she fouled him, he'd let her know, and it, you know, it was a.
How did he let her know? Did he punch her? No, or did he say, "Oh, excuse me, you fouled me"? I mean, what's he's competitive.
They're both competitive, so right. They have some good rivalries.
So,
did your mother ever play against Dennis Rodman?
So, you didn't go to your first choice of college. Is this job your first choice?
He'd rather have commerce, just so he can have a slightly closer chance.
Literally all.
It's an amazing, amazing job. And honestly, going back, every day I think about my mother starting in a church basement in 1961 and working with a small group of kids on the South Side of Chicago and having a chance to have those roots and now trying to impact education across the country. I pinch myself some days. It's pretty amazing.
Wow.
So, I mean, you're dealing, though, as Secretary of Education with some pretty serious problems. Our educational system doesn't seem to be doing well. We always hear that our scores in math, science are falling behind other countries. Have you ever thought of, instead of trying to get the kids to do better in those things, come up with careers that the kids can do with the skills that we are teaching them? Like, for example,
lying around.
texting, for example. My kids can text like nobody's business. So if we can,
man, the world of competitive texting.
If we can build an economy on the skills that we're actually teaching our children.
Then I can retire and go to the Bahamas.
Exactly. I'm just saying. You have kids in public school?
I do. We have parent-teacher conferences this morning.
Really?
Wow.
Really? Okay. So I'm a teacher.
Oh, my gosh.
And in walks the Secretary of Education. And the Secretary of Education says, "So, how is my child doing in your class?" And the teacher says to him or herself, "The funding for the entire district is relying on my answer."
No. Far from it. It's actually, I go in, I'm Claire and Ryan's dad. And that's, right. You know, total separation of roles.
Yeah.
And
there's not.
Yeah. It's actually,
that might be for you, but there's not for the teacher. What are you, out of your mind?
You sit in a chair much smaller than this.
Tiny little chairs. And you're a big guy.
And the power is all, you know, you're sitting there hoping your children are doing okay. So, yeah. You know, the power is all there and you're trying
really?
To figure out. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know,
and lucky to have
you're out of your mind.
But you're not sitting there and they tell you your kid is failing geometry and you're like, "Whoa, nice federal funding you got here." It'd be a shame if something happened to that. I just want to ask you a couple more questions about playing basketball with the president. You still do, right?
We do.
You do.
We do.
If you foul the president hard, do they kill you immediately or do they take you to Guantanamo? I mean, do like the Secret Service guys ever leap out and like?
They don't.
It'd be really fun if they had like just one guy with like shades and a suit and an earpiece standing under the basket, just totally goaltending.
Well, I'm not giving up any state secrets, but there was one time when he got an elbow and got stitches in his mouth, and he went down.
Bam, boom.
Boom.
Right.
Who did that? Who hit him?
He never came back. So.
Has not been seen since.
Yeah. No, he's a good friend.
Have you ever said to the president when you say dunk over him, have you ever said, "Well, I'm the Secretary of Education and you've just been schooled"?
I haven't, but I will remember that line.
Secretary Duncan, we have asked you here to play a game that this time we're calling.
Now don't be fresh. I just take dictation.
So you're the Secretary of Education, but what do you know about the education of secretaries? We looked at how secretaries were taught to behave in the bad/good old days. Answer two questions correctly, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Plus, of course, we'll consider hiring you for our secretarial pool. Bill, who is Secretary Arnie Duncan playing for?
Josh Glitz, a high school English teacher from Dallas, Texas.
There you go. Josh, Secretary's looking for you. So you ready to do this?
You got to take care of Josh.
I know. This is a little intimidating because, you know, secretaries of education usually don't take tests. You give them. if you don't do well in this test, we will cut your funding. Here we go. Here is your first question. It comes from a 1946 pamphlet put out by the Remington Typewriter Company, and the pamphlet was called Memo, How to Be a Super Secretary. And the pamphlet is written in the second person. It's saying, telling the secretary things like, you are efficient and you are cheerful. It also says what? A, you are the receptacle of all of your boss's desires. B, you are a clam. Or C, you are an expensive piece of office equipment.
Wow.
A.
You are the receptacle of all your boss's desires? No. Why, Secretary Duncan? I'm surprised. It's you are a clam. And it meant you should never speak of what goes on inside the office, outside the office.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Right, you still have two more chances. In 1931, the New York Times said that among the many things a modern secretary was expected to do for her boss was which of these? A, be willing to cover up any of his crimes. B, hold his pencils admiringly. Or C, give her life for him if necessary.
B.
Yes, it is B. Advice is to hold his pencils admiringly. We're not sure how you're supposed to do that, but last question, if you get this, you win the game. In the early 1930s, one secretarial school helped its students get used to then newfangled technology by doing what? A, shocking them repeatedly with electricity so they wouldn't be scared of it anymore. B, teaching them to make their own ballpoint pens. Or C, building a 4-foot-tall rotary dial phone for demonstration purposes.
Let's go with C.
Yes, it is C! Students were invited up to use this crazy new dial, this rotary phone, and listen to the funny sounds it made as it spun past.
Wow.
And then the little ones they'd see in the office wouldn't scare them. Wow. They'd be like, oh, look at the little baby phone. Bill, how did Secretary Duncan do on our show?
2 out of 3. What a game.
Arnie Duncan is an awesome basketball player and also the Secretary of Education of the United States. Mr. Secretary, thank you so much.
Thank you.
A secretary is not a toy, no, my boy.
In just a minute, Bill orders some room service lingonberries. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Progressive, offering policyholders the option to bundle home and auto insurance coverage. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Lindemood Bell Learning Centers, for nearly 30 years helping individuals learn to read and comprehend, online at lindemoodbell.com. And Angie's List, providing reviews of local contractors, dentists, electricians, and mechanics to keep the consumer informed. More at angieslist.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Firouzeh Dubois, Paula Poundstone, and Roy Blount, Jr. And here again is your host, the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill makes like Busta Rhymes in the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, though, it's time for a game we're calling...
I'm Bill Curtis, and this is the news.
So Bill is now going to read three headlines. Only one of the headlines will be real, though. Your job is to pick the real one, and you get a point. Okay, Firouzeh, you are up first. Your headline is from the San Diego Union-Tribune newspaper, and it concerns a political scandal. Was it?
Undersecretary found undersecretary.
Or?
Mayor jogs around San Diego, sans pants.
Or?
Candidate says sex doll claims inflated. Ah.
Well, this is San Diego, so I'm going to go with all three. I'll go with... two.
You're going to go the second one? Mayor jogs around San Diego sans pants?
Well, because they have naked beaches or something.
He might have, but the answer was candidate says sex doll claims inflated. Mm. The whole story, we are told, was blown out of proportion. All right. Paula, your headline comes from the New Haven Independent, and it concerns a baked good. Was it?
Governor eats cookie.
Or?
Apple unveils new ice cone.
Or,
man recovering after misreading, do not eat, as donut, eat.
I don't know, A.
A, governor eats cookie, you're right. That's the headline. Sure, it was in the newspaper, but it's not really news until the headline is Cookie Eats Governor. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Firouzeh, a company has announced that after years of development, they're ready to start selling an armchair that does what?
An armchair that tells you, get off the sofa, you lazy bum.
No. It wants you to stay in the chair.
Oh, stay on the sofa, you lazy bum.
Well, it's an armchair, and what the armchair has done is it has removed one of the last reasons ever to get out of your armchair.
Not that one. Does it mean you can filibuster in it for hours and hours?
You could do anything you wanted in hours because you'd never have to leave because it does something for you. Particularly if you're sitting around and, you know, drinking beer and watching TV.
Okay, it has a refrigerator, so there's beer underneath it.
It's more than that.
It has an ice cream maker.
No. It does have beer in it, but what does it do with that beer?
It opens it up for you.
It does even more than that.
It drinks it for you.
It does. It's stuck between those two.
It pours it for you.
Exactly. You it refills your beer. Are you wondering what to get for the sedentary drunk who has everything? Well, Grin On Industries has you covered. You fill the bottoms-up armchair with beer. You put your cup down in a holder in the armrest, and it refills the cup with beer every time you put it down.
Wow.
We like to think of it as the refill cleaner or the profoundly lazy boy. The chair is currently available for purchase. The price may be too high for many buyers. Though if your dream is to own a chair that saves you the hassle of walking 20 feet to the refrigerator, there's little doubt your work ethic and persistence have already led you to wealth beyond your wildest dreams.
Yeah, I'm guessing this is for single men.
Probably. In response to this product, AA now has 13 steps. The first is stand up from your beer chair.
I don't drink anymore, but I do eat fatty food, so I could get a chair where you put a frying pan down there.
Yeah.
And like a hand comes out and does like home fries for you.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Paula, a clothing manufacturer in Italy has caused a small uproar by naming its line of jeans what?
Oh, my. Berlusconi jeans?
No, the opposite end of the moral spectrum.
The opposite end. Oh, Pope jeans?
Even further.
God's panties?
You're in the neighborhood.
Jesus jeans?
Jesus jeans is what they're
wow.
called.
Wow.
Hey. Hey, are those Jesus jeans you're wearing? Because your butt looks heavenly. Now, most evidence, historical and biblical evidence, shows Jesus was definitely more of a sensible robes kind of guy. An Italian clothing company called Basic Net trademarked the name Jesus for their jeans back in 2007, immediately giving the phrase, turn the other cheek, a completely new meaning. But just last week, the company showed that they would defend their brand religiously. They threatened to sue the Christian clothing line Jesus Surfed, as well as the firms Jesus Couture and Jesus, this is a terrible name for a clothing company. They want to protect the brand, though, because the thing about Jesus jeans, they're really forgiving.
So bad.
Yep.
There was nothing I could do to stop you.
No.
Staring at my window, I brush my hair. Getting dressed to meet my friends, but I don't know what to wear. Commercial shows on my TV about these cool designer jeans that I put on at the mall. Through the shadow of my eyes.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our shows in Rockford, Illinois at the beautiful Coronado Theater there on April 4th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Jennifer Patton from Waltham, Massachusetts.
Hey, Waltham. Hey. I know Waltham. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. How are things in Waltham?
They are fantastic. The site of the Industrial Revolution.
This is true. What did they invent there? The cotton gin, the steel mill?
It was the site of industrial espionage as Paul Moody went over to England and memorized how to make cloth.
Oh, I see. And he brought it back. And to this day, they actually don't make any of that stuff there anymore.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, Jennifer. Bill Curtis is now going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. And if you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you will be a big winner. You ready to go?
Yes.
Here is your first limerick.
I'm wrapped tight with my body and head snug, so I'll sleep without help of a dread drug. And no infestation will cause consternation. My cocoon will keep out every
bed bug.
Indeed.
Yes.
The war against the bed bugs is over, and we lost. So, before you get in bed, crawl in the new bed bug cocoon made of, quote, specially woven fabric that is impervious to bed bugs, unquote. The best part, next morning, when you wake up, you are a beautiful butterfly. That's not true. You emerge from the cocoon, and then the bed bugs eat you. They've been waiting.
Who made this?
That is, of course, SkyMall.
Oh!
Who else?
Oh, my gosh. I love SkyMall. I love SkyMall. It makes me feel so good about myself. Because I look through it, and there's not one thing I need.
You've made it.
I'm like, I'm all right with nose hair. I don't care.
You don't need a foot tanner?
Yeah, and I'm certainly not going to make a welcome mat with it.
I don't think you make the welcome mat with the nose hair trimmer.
Oh, I thought there was a relationship.
No, with the nose hair.
All right, here is your next limerick.
Unmanned spy planes I do not condone. So some heat-blocking garments I've sewn. Discreet urban fashion is my private passion. And these clothes help me hide from a
drone.
Yes, indeed, drone. Drones can track you with thermal imaging, but not if you're wearing new drone-proof clothing called Stealthwear. The large silver tent-like garments make you completely invisible to drones and to potential mates. However, the new Predator drones can defeat this defense with their new ugly-seeking missiles. Here is your last limerick.
There's self-check-in, no porter, no bell, and the bed needs assembling. Oh, well, we start out the day with a Swedish buffet at IKEA's new budget
hotel.
Yes, indeed. IKEA has teamed up with Marriott to launch a chain of budget hotels across Europe. They'll be furnished with IKEA furniture. They'll serve IKEA meatballs from the stables outside. And they'll drive guests crazy when the TVs in the room turn out to be plastic fakes. They'll be just like IKEA. Just be prepared for the crowds of shoppers wandering through your room while you sleep. Bill, how did Jennifer do?
Jennifer held up the Industrial Revolution with a 3 perfect score.
Oh, well done. Congratulations, Jennifer. Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
It's even score. Each has 3 points.
All right. Huh. Well, we have randomly assigned an order then. Paula is up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. Venezuelan citizens on Tuesday mourned the death of their president of 14 years. Blank.
Chavez.
Yeah. Former Italian Prime Minister blank was sentenced to a year in jail in a wiretap case on Thursday.
Berlusconi.
Right. In response to a petition, this week the White House called on Congress to allow people to unlock their blanks.
Phones.
Yes, because of the horse meat scandal, officials in Iceland tested local meat pies and were surprised to discover blank.
They're made of horse meat.
No, they didn't have any meat in them at all. George Lucas announced that Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, and Mark Hamill will be appearing in the new blank movie.
Star Wars?
Yes. On Thursday, the social networking site blank unveiled changes to its news feed.
A social networking site. Facebook?
Yes. Police in Bradford, England were surprised when a suspected burglar was delivered to the station by blank.
In a baby stroller.
No, by Batman.
Oh, yes.
They were also surprised to see that Batman seems to have gone a little soft in the middle. Security cameras captured the superhero, dressed in the 1960s TV version of his costume, bringing in a wanted criminal and vanishing into the night. The mysterious vigilante revealed himself to the media as one Stam Werby, a Chinese takeout delivery man, and he wanted everybody to know who he was because he resented the implications that he was fat. He wanted to let us know he was wearing a tracksuit under the costume. Bill, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Paula got 5 right for 10 more points. That means she has 13 and the lead.
Well done.
Yeah. You know what they say?
Wait,
statisticians say, if you don't come out in the lead when you go first,
it's hard to catch up.
You don't have a shot in hell.
All right, Roy, you are up next. Fill in the blank. President Obama hosted a dinner at the Jefferson Hotel for 12 blanks on Wednesday night.
Republicans.
Yes, after being hospitalized over the weekend for a stomach infection, on Tuesday, blank was released in good health.
Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth.
Yes, as U.S. jobless claims dropped this week, the blank reached an all-time high.
The Dow.
Right, U.S. intelligence officials announced Thursday that they had caught the son-in-law and spokesman for the late al-Qaeda leader blank.
Osama bin Laden.
Right. A highway in West Virginia was temporarily shut down after thousands of blanks spilled under the road.
Lego blocks.
Right. Because he's planning to direct a movie this week, Jon Stewart announced that he was taking a 12-week hiatus from blank.
The Daily Show.
Right. Golfer Rory McIlroy apologized this week for blanking during the second round of last week's PGA Honda Classic.
Walking off.
Yes. According to Psychologically Today magazine, the most popular place for single people to fall in love at first sight is where?
Oh, my gosh. Is this Newark Airport?
No. Oh, Lord, no.
That was the most likely airport, though. Yeah, I read that today. Go ahead.
It was Walmart.
Oh.
What they did was they surveyed...
That was the second thing I was going to say.
They surveyed those Craigslist missed encounter ads where people say, I saw you there, and I just was really struck by you, will you call me? And most of them took place in Walmart.
Huh.
And course, I think it was in the pregnancy belly aisle.
It was. Of course, the majority of these relationships are between single men in giant tubs of discount cheese puffs. Bill, how did Roy do in our quiz?
Well, he did great. He got 7 more points, 14. He takes the lead.
Oh, there you have it.
All right.
So how
Firouze needs 7 to tie.
It's a lot of pressure.
8 to win.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go, Firouze. This is for the game. In a medical first, doctors announced this week that a baby born infected with blank had been cured.
8.
Right, HIV. In an interview with Chris Wallace of Fox News last Sunday, blank said that it kills him that he's not president.
Oh, Romney.
Right, Mitt Romney. The CDC sent out a warning to hospitals this week about a new strain of nightmare bacteria that is resistant to blank.
To medicine.
Yeah, antibiotics. Police in Zurich, Switzerland, arrested a 27-year-old outside of a music festival after he was caught with blank.
Chocolate.
49 cell phones stuffed down his pants.
Ooh.
In an interview with Vanity Fair magazine, singer blank lashed out at Tina Fey and Amy Poehler for joking about her at the Golden Globes.
Taylor Swift.
Right, this week Subaru recalled 50,000 cars nicknamed zombie cars because they could blank.
Drive on their own.
Right, or start themselves, yeah. A German politician's claim that Silvio Berlusconi and other Italian politicians were clowns drew stiff condemnation from blank.
Italy.
No, actual clowns. Yeah. Being compared to Berlusconi and his cohort is an insult to the dignity of a profession founded on tripping over your own enormous shoes. Clowns around the world were deeply offended and angry, so they erased their usual smiley faces and put on their frowny lips. Bill, did Firouze do well enough to win?
Well, she did pretty well. She got 5 right, but with 17 points, the winner is Roy Blunt.
Mm. All right,
Junior.
Roy.
Well done, Roy.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict who will give the next historic filibuster and what it will be about. But first, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and eSurance, an Allstate company, offering Coverage Counselor, an online tool that provides car insurance options based on users' needs at eSurance.com. Lumber Liquidator, supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR. Information at LumberLiquidators.com. And RDO, a digital music service allowing listeners to discover millions of songs and listen everywhere. RDIO.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, benevolent overlord. Philip Goedeke writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler James Green. Our volunteer wrangler is Ray Teresi. Our intern is Miles Dorn. Who's the boss? Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchuk and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical directions from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillag. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, who will be the next person to filibuster and why? Paula Poundstone.
Joe Biden will declare that he will not leave the Senate floor until everyone has a shotgun and he has hugged all the senators' mothers.
Firouze Dumas.
Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri will filibuster until he gets to replace the more handsome Roy Blunt Jr. as a panelist. On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
And Roy Blunt Jr.
Strom Thurmond is back. And as you know, zombies don't need to use the bathroom.
And if we see... And if we see that, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis, for doing such a wonderful job of filling us the car these last 2 weeks. Thanks also to Paula Poundstone, Timothy Dumas, and Roy Blunt Jr. I'm Peter Sagal. And I'll be back next week, hopefully with my own voice back. This is NPR.
Nashville International Airport connects Middle Tennessee travelers to the world. BNA seeks to learn about the places travelers need to go and improve air service options to take them there. In fact, Nashville International Airport has new nonstop flights to Boston, New York City, Los Angeles, and Cleveland. More information is at flynashville.com, including opportunities for airport-related updates and traveler comments. flynashville.com.
For almost 4 decades, Lucinda Williams has been blurring genre lines and breaking rules. But in the beginning, the music industry wasn't always so open to her iconoclastic style.
There was no Americana. There was no alternative country. There was no alternative anything. And basically, that's what they kept telling me was I fell through the cracks.
That's singer-songwriter Lucinda Williams. She'll share a few stories about her life and music this week on Sound Opinions.
Sunday evenings at 7.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 12 o'clock.